Welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, in for Pastor Greg Huffman. And over the next couple broadcasts, we're going to be looking at an area in the Word of God that God has been working on my life, and that's the area of peace. I don't know if you watched the news recently, but there's a lot of things to be fearful about. Just a few headlines that I took several weeks ago from the news. Taiwan planes cartwheels into river. Seven reasons to worry about cheap oil. Jordan shaken by ISIS killing executes two. Three deadliest drugs in America are totally legal. Now, what goes through your heart and mind when you see or read about these things in the news? You pull up your phone and it's all over your phone. You turn on the television and it's just war, crime, catastrophe. It's natural for these types of headlines to produce fear. Sometimes I look at these things and I ask in my heart, where is the peace? You know, peace is something often talked about, but I believe it's rarely ever lived out. Everybody wants it, yet nobody knows how to attain it. And sometimes if people know where to get peace, they sure don't live like they have it. And the question for us today is, why is that? Now, I personally believe it comes from a misunderstanding of peace. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew uses the word shalom. Now, shalom in its purest form means peace. However, the implication of the word is very positive. For example, if somebody was going to greet you with the greeting of shalom, it doesn't mean, I hope you don't get into any trouble. The actual intent behind the meaning and the greeting of shalom is, I hope you have all the highest good coming your way. It's a very positive thing. Do you see the difference? I believe a lot of us don't understand peace as a positive concept. We look at the area of peace with a negative concept. You see, too many of us, peace means an absence of any kind of trouble. If I can just remove my circumstances, then I'll have peace. If I can just distance myself in relationships, then I can have peace. We tie peace into our circumstances, but that is not a biblical concept of peace. Because according to the Bible, you can experience trouble and have great peace. Biblical peace is unrelated to our circumstances. In fact, peace refers to the goodness of life that is not touched by what happens on the outside. It is a fact that it is possible for you to be experiencing incredible trials and still have biblical peace. We see examples of that in the scripture from Daniel in the lion's den. At that point, that is a death sentence, but he had incredible peace. We see Paul several times in difficult circumstances, such as being imprisoned, yet he revealed great peace. James 1 verse 2 says, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. So the question we want to ask ourselves today is this: where does someone find this kind of peace? The kind of peace that is not affected by trouble, danger, or sorrow. Well, John 14 verses 25 through 28 are several verses that we're going to be looking at and kind of diving into, because our Lord Jesus himself, knowing the very weakness of our heart, shares with us some of the most incredible, comforting messages. And it's around the idea of peace. Let me start in verse 25. It says, these things I have spoken to you, this is Jesus talking, while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say these things to you. I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. It's one of the most amazing and wonderful things in the Bible to realize that just hours before Jesus was crucified, he was concerned about his followers. He's about to be tortured. He's on his way to the cross, the most horrific means of torture ever devised. And his burden was to solidify the souls of his disciples, his followers. His burden was to strengthen their inner man. His desire was that they not live in fear, but that they live with peace, joy, and faith. Now, as we read in this context in John 14, verse 27, when Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you," we need to ask a very important question. What kind of peace is Jesus talking about? Now, the Bible speaks of different types of peace. However, all the different types of peace that are referred to in the scripture all work together. And here's what I mean by that. Peace that is talked about in scripture, there are three different kinds of peace. The first kind of peace that we see that is talked about has to do with our relationship with God. It's a spiritual peace. It's referring to being one or in a harmonious relationship with God. And the other types of peace that are talked about in the scripture are a result of this peace. Because I have a right relationship with God and peace has been made, I am now able to experience peace. And that kind of peace that is talked about is an experience in life, both inward and outward. It's talking about a calmness of the inner man that leads to a calmness that is expressed in my outward actions. We also see another kind of peace that's produced because I am at peace with God, and that's a peace that has to do with our unity with one another. If at all possible, live peaceably with all men. But all of these other types of peace are rooted in a right relationship with God. See, when we are born into this world, we lack peace with God. Romans 5:10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." These verses clearly remind us that when we were born into this world, we fought against God. We were his enemies. But when we receive Jesus Christ, we cease being his enemy and are now a part of his family. The hostility is over. Jesus Christ wrote the treaty with his blood on the cross. And that treaty declares that now we have peace with God. We see this truth throughout Scripture. In Ephesians 6:15, Paul calls the good news of salvation the preparation of the gospel of peace. What he's saying there is the gospel is that which makes man who was at war with God to be at peace with him. In Romans 5:1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." And that is referring to those who have trusted Christ. They're now redeemed and declared righteous by faith. And as a result of that, now have peace with God. What a wonderful purpose behind salvation. To bring restoration, to bring peace. Colossians 1:20 through 22 says that Christ made peace through the blood of his cross. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. How is he able to do that? Because he made peace through the blood of his cross. So in order to understand the peace that he's talking about in verse 27, we need to have a foundational understanding of peace being rooted in a relationship with God. Only God can give you true peace. If you are an unsaved person, you cannot experience peace. Because peace is rooted in a right relationship with God. And as a result of a right relationship with God, then peace is produced. The peace that is talked about in verse 27 in John 14 is referring to a tranquility of the soul, a calmness of the spirit, a settledness in your heart. It refers to composure in difficult trouble. It's a calmness that dissolves fear. And what we see in verse 27 is that this peace is a gift. And it's a gift given to us by the only one who can give it, and that's God. This peace that is a gift enables us to hold the wildest fears at pause. It enables us to rejoice in pain, to rejoice in trial, to sing in the middle of suffering, because a peace has been produced. Now, when we talk about this kind of peace, it's referring to a firm conviction or a firm confidence in the one who says in Romans 8:32, who spared not his own son, will also along with him freely give us all things. How can I receive a calmness of spirit in the midst of trouble? It comes down to my trust in the one who said he will give it to me. Leading up to this text in John 14, Jesus had been talking with his disciples and he'd been telling them that he was going away. We understand when Jesus says, I'm going away, but I'm coming back, that it talked about his death and his resurrection and his ascension, and one day he will return for his people, the church. We understand that because we have the whole revelation of Scripture. The disciples did not. They were confused. And naturally, as a disciple, when you see Jesus walking on water, feeding 5,000 people, when you see him healing the sick and raising the dead, when this man tells you that he's leaving you, it would naturally lead to fear. Because without him, you are nothing. That is the emotion, that is the feeling that is being expressed in this passage. These disciples are in the midst of great fear. And in the midst of their great fear, Jesus is going to comfort them in verse 27 with this message, peace I leave with you and my peace I give to you. It's the same peace that Paul talks about in Philippians 4, verse 7, when he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God is not based on our circumstances like the world's peace. The peace that God gives to us is a peace that surpasses all understanding because it's a supernatural peace. It doesn't seem reasonable that such a peace could exist in the midst of problems and troubles that Christians go through. However, when we read 1 Peter 3:15, it says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give in a defense for anyone who asks a reason of hope that's within you. When does that happen? It happens during trial. It happens during tribulation. When you have this inner calmness, which is expressed through an outward calmness in the midst of trial and difficulty, and people see you in that state, you better believe they're going to ask about the hope that is in you, and that's what becomes a testimony to a dark world. That's how you live as a light in a dark world, because you are living out this peace that only God can give. So as we remind ourselves this morning, if you are lacking peace, maybe it's because you don't have a right relationship with God, because that's where you find peace, in a right relationship with God. I hope you join us next time as we focus on, if I'm a child of God and I still lack this peace, why don't I have it? And we'll focus on that next time on The Word for Life. Have a great day.